Thank you, John. My name is John Galbraith. I'm standing in for Dr. John Fike, who apologizes. He had a last-minute change in plans and was not able to attend. However, he did give me some notes, and I will be reading from those. You can see my my collaborators here. We worked at three experimental stations in Virginia. The background and history here. The timing began in 2007. Why are we studying energy crops? Why? What is the rationale and the purpose of doing this type of research here? And we have three concerns. We have national security concerns. Are we dependent on foreign oil that come from unstable parts of the world? Well, yes, we are, unfortunately. So this puts us in a precarious position. How about environmental security, where we're adding carbon to the atmosphere? What can we do to offset global temperature rise? And then we have economic security, which is probably the biggest concern of all. And that one is, how does the public react when there's a big jump in gasoline prices, and that affects us dramatically, in the short term at least. And here you see a slow and steady rise in the cost of oil, and you can see the downturns in the price, and you'll note that those downturns is what spurred funding for alternative bioenergy sources. Two collaborators that worked on switchgrass at Virginia Tech for quite a while, Dr. Dave Parrish and Dr. Dale Wolf, and both of them were very passionate about this. However, as money was put into biofuels research and people started investigating other grasses, they began to wonder, did we hitch our wagon to the wrong star? Is there something better than switchgrass? And should we be investigating it? So we began some studies on alternative fuels, and this is a compilation of publications that deal with comparisons between switchgrass and other types of bioenergy fuels. And you can see that switchgrass still, Panicum virgatum in the orange circle, still stands out pretty well after the test of time. The other types of materials have their qualities, and depending on the way that they're processed, can be much better than switchgrass. So the bottom line we asked ourselves is there a comparison between some of these, a direct comparison? And we found one from Illinois where they compared giant Miscanthus giganteus versus switchgrass, but they did it against an upland variety and a low-yielding variety, and they found that the Miscanthus greatly out-yielded the lower-yielding. But would we have found different results had they compared against lowland varieties? And then also, what about other crops? Giant reed, energy cane, which is a sugar cane that's adapted to northern climates, or Napier grass, those might be better suited if you're living and working and growing energy crops in a warmer climate where you're not into such cold regions. Switchgrass, maybe that looks a little better as you go further north. So these are the experimental species that we began to study, and I think all of you in this room are probably more familiar with these than I am. I'm a soil scientist by nature, but familiar enough with these. You can see we can grow some pretty good switchgrass in Virginia. The hardy sugar cane, the panic grass, and the Miscanthus. Now, we were led to believe that the Miscanthus giganteus in the Hort Garden at Virginia Tech was the correct variety, and we went out and planted that, but we found out later that it was not actually Miscanthus giganteus, so we had to replant a second year from a better source. But you can see the giant reed in the background, and you can see the biomass in the foreground, and you say, well, why don't we just grow this one? There's obviously more biomass there than the others, but what you're talking about here is a high amount of water content. And how much energy does it take to process these materials? So depending on what type of energy processing you're using, if you have to remove the water, you may end up with a net, well, let's just say a lower net gain in energy because of the higher energy required to do the processing. This same material, though, processed through a different type of method may end up being quite productive and may be the preference here. There's also a question about the timing effects on the feedstock quality. And why did that happen? It's all right, we'll go right back. And so we have fall versus spring planting, and we found that there was a 40% harvest loss. Now that harvest loss was caused by a big snowfall event. It's going by itself, apparently. All right. We had a big snowfall event before the harvest, and so most of the problem in the yield loss was not due to degradation, but the fact that the plants were laid down on the ground and the harvester unit just simply could not pick up the biomass off the ground. So lodging is the term that I use for it. So we experimented at two experimental stations in the Piedmont, known as Orange and Blackstone, and that's in the northern and southern Piedmont. And we also experimented at Glade Springs, and that's in the Ridge and Valley. So the Piedmont are characterized by low fertility soils, high clay contents. It's warm, it's hot. Down in Glade Spring, it's cooler, higher elevation, and these are limestone soils, so they're higher fertility. So here were our five species that were planted, and again, we did get the correct Miscanthus giganteus the second year. We did fertilize all of the plots, but modestly with nitrogen each year following establishment, and we harvested it three different seasons to see what the effect would be. The results. And the take-home point here, I think, is that the Arianthus looks good. The sugar cane looks very good. Again, very high water content, so going to require a special processing to extract the energy from this material. And the switchgrass comes in there, not at the top, but certainly near the top. And the giant reed as well is quite productive in the northern regions. In the southwestern part of Virginia on the limestone soil, we had a problem with climate and the soils, and we lost some of these species, and they did not yield correctly. So the rundo and Arianthus, the sugarcane, did yield, but you can see that there was a large effect on the harvest season, and so the fall harvest did prove to be the best time to harvest, and there were no losses to lodging in this case. As far as feedstock quality, again, the Arundo, if harvested correctly, appears to have the advantage on all the others, although it does have a higher ash content. Okay. And in this particular one, the giant Miscanthus appears to have a higher cellulose content. Switchgrass, again, is hanging in there about second or third on almost all of these cases. So when you balance that against the processing needs, it runs it down to where if you can process it the correct way, you have Arundo and the sugarcane are leading the way. But if you process it through traditional methods and low energy input methods and you don't have to dry down the material, then the switchgrass and the Miscanthus come out looking very well. So another factor about the harvest season is you do lose leaves rather quickly when you go to a midwinter harvest. The stems stay around, and that's why there's a stabilization between the midwinter and the late winter harvest. Okay. And at that, I might not be able to answer questions directly about the details, to do with the plants themselves, but I'd be happy to attempt to answer any questions that anyone has.
We have plenty of time for some questions.
So I'm not all that familiar with the two processing types. But again, the water content of the material is going to be a huge factor when you're looking at the net gain in energy. And I think that's the take-home point that John wanted to stress in this talk, was that you have to look at that balance, not just the harvest time. The harvest time was tested so that we could stretch, producers could stretch out the market. They could play the market. So if there was no difference in harvest season, then they could wait till the prices were better before they harvested. So all of these things interact with each other. The price of oil, the price, you know, the cost in energy to produce fuel from these biomasses, and then the timing of when you hit the market. I'm sorry, was there a question?
Could you just talk about this raised line very graph here that you have with the stem, like diligent? What's the red line?
Oh, these relate back, I'm sorry, we left off the legend. These relate back to the species that were in question.
So the red one looks like it's just money.
All right, so that's the sugar cane. Okay, I'm sorry. So the sugar cane had the higher leaf to stem ratio. And switchgrass is the yellow line, so it comes in right about in the middle. And the Arundo had the lowest leaf to stem ratio. The giant reed has the large canes, and so the stem makes up much more of the quantity of the biomass weight than the leaves themselves.
Dry weight, right?
I believe so, yes. Yes, everything is adjusted to dry weight basis. When it's quite difficult to dry down giant reed.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.